Chapter 17. Owen. No birds chirp with the coming of the rising sun. The city is devoid of wildlife, an enormous stone labyrinth filled with nothing but masses of people. The first light of day is accompanied by the sounds of industry, of pinging hammers and horse hooves on cobblestones. Dawn filters through the window as I prepare myself for the day. I gather my things, get dressed, and give one final look at the bare room before shouldering my pack and weapons. I find Zara and the other mages gathering in the courtyard of the academy, their blue robes resplendent, even in the cloud-obscured morning light. Porters are bringing out already saddled horses, along with the steady stream of supplies, which are wrapped, packaged, and ready for transport.
"You're finally up," Zara says with a weary smile. "Sleep in?"
I grunt.
"Strange," she remarks, brown eyes twinkling. "Usually I'm the last person out of bed. You're getting lax, Owen."
"I'm just reluctant to leave behind a perfectly good bed," I reply. "Who knows when we'll ever get to sleep in another one?" Her smile fades at that, and I berate myself for dampening the mood. "Nice going, Owen." Before I have a chance to say anything more, she begins to wring her hands together. Something else seems to be bothering her. Maybe she's just as worried about this as I am. I give her a comforting smile. "It's going to be okay, Zara. We'll be back before you know it."
"No, it's not that. I sent out messages trying to see if my father was among the refugees, but I never got a response. Part of me hopes that he's alive somewhere, safe from all this. But if not..."
"Zara, you can't. Don't do this to yourself. The best we can do is hope. Hope that he made it out, that he's okay. Then we just have to trust in the light."
She gives me a faint smile. "Look at you, Ranger, talking about hope. You've changed quite a bit since we first met, you know.
Is that such a bad thing?"
"No," she replies warmly. "No, I don't suppose it is."
I wrap my arms around her, and she lays her head against my chest. "As soon as this is all over, I'll help you find your family. I promise."
"Thank you, Owen."
I clear my throat, changing the subject. "How did you manage to get so many to come?" She glances around.
"After speaking with the Circle last night and telling them how successful it went with the incendiary spell, Hymegas Roth agreed this was the best course, and sent them to help us on our mission. They're the best mages in the Conclave."
"That's wonderful," I reply, eyebrows rising in surprise. There's 20 mages in total, though most of them look like they could be our grandparents. "I'm sure you'll be able to put them to good use once we reach the Wastes." She nods.
"That's the plan."
Glancing down, I see that her hand is covered in a thick layer of clean bandages. "How's your hand?"
"Fine,"
she replies quickly, stuffing it into a pocket in her robes.
"No permanent damage done. It should heal perfectly in no time at all. The nurse at the academy gave me some ointment and bandages for the trip."
I nod, but don't reply, taking in a deep breath of the morning air. This late in the season, the temperature should be bitterly cold. Instead, it's lukewarm at best, with a promise of heat coming later in the day.
"Unnatural, that." "We'll be taking a secret tunnel out of the city," she says at length, accepting the reins of a white-spotted mare from a porter. "The Heartlands are crawling with roving bands of demons, and the refugees have already begun their migration to Dunmar City. In order to move quickly and avoid detection, we'll be traveling underground."
I frown. "Underground? I didn't know such a tunnel existed."
"Neither did I," she admits. "Apparently it was created so the royal family could escape if the city was ever besieged. It lets out somewhere in the Heartlands, in a small village called Steading."
"Fine by me," I say, taking the reins of a brown gelding from another porter. "It'll be nice to travel without fear of being attacked by demons for a change." At a sign from Roth, we mount up and begin riding out of the courtyard, clopping into the city proper toward the western wall. Of the 20 mages who are accompanying us, I only recognize a few, and even then I don't know any of their names. Still, I'm grateful I am with Zara. Her companionship fills me with a familiar warmth, despite the gravity of our mission.
She's my entire world now, I think, gazing at her while we ride. Her eyes, large and intelligent, stare ahead in determination, riding regally atop an animal that she used to mistrust and fear. Her chestnut hair streams behind her in the breeze, and I can't help but marvel at the slender shape of her body, the way her legs now grip the saddle with a delicate yet practiced strength. Hells, she's gorgeous. Somehow I need to let her know. Promises and vows, I whisper as we ride, remembering the words she'd said to me that night in the wastes. If I ever get the chance, that's what I'll give her. Eventually, we reach a small butcher's shop in the western quarter of the city, an old yet sturdy building constructed of thick timbers and stone. Elias and Tamara are there, along with General Moore and a handful of other dignitaries. Here to see us off, I think, pulling my horse to a stop. Pity that Talon didn't come to say goodbye. Then again, I suppose he did last night. He's probably sleeping off a terrible headache right now. We dismount and approach the group, mages leading horses laden with packs and supplies.
Good. You've arrived, Elias states, regarding Zara and me. This is where you'll be leaving. The tunnel beneath this building goes northwest for about a day's walk and will deposit you into the Heartlands. Scout reports came in just before dawn, Moore adds, his gauntleted hand resting on the hilt of his sword. The R'hllar even closer than we thought. They'll be within striking distance of the city before nightfall. This route should be the safest way for you to get clear of them.
Excellent, Zara says, speaking on behalf of the entire group. Thank you, General.
These mages are under your command, Seeker, Roth says, coming up to stand beside her. His usually dour face seems softer today, his eyes regarding her with a strange mixture of concern and hope. The fate of the entire kingdom rides with you, and our thoughts and prayers go with you as well.
We'll hold off the blighters as long as possible, Moore says, a small smile cracking his expression like a broken stone. They'll pay for every inch of ground they take in this city, but do your best to move swiftly, just in case.
We trust you, Tamara puts in softly. Then she levels her blue stare at me. Take care of her, Ranger. Take care of all of them. I will, I reply, saluting her.
Is there anything else you need before you go? Elias asks, looking over the two of us like a concerned father looking over his own children.
Zara glances at me, then shakes her head. I don't think so, Protector.
No, I reply. We have everything we need.
He nods as if this was the only answer he expected.
Well then, if there's nothing else...
Wait!
Cries a heavily accented voice. All of us turn to see Yari, Connick, and Voss, three of the youths from the Wastelander camp, racing toward us with a peeved-looking nightingale in tow. All of them carry spears and wear mismatched leather armor over their coarse, rough-spun clothing.
I'm sorry, Lord Protector, the nightingale growls. These desert dwellers said they had an urgent message for the Ranger Owen.
It's all right, Elias says. Let them speak.
Yari? I ask as they approach. What are you doing here? As one, the three youths kneel before us, laying their spears down on the cobbles and bowing their heads in deference. Yari speaks in his Wastelander tongue, and I look to Zara for a translation. She frowns. He says that his people have begun moving north with the other refugees, and that the rest of his fellow fighters are going with them as protection. He says that he, Connick, and Voss will not abandon the war leader Owen Lund, and that they will gladly die to defend him and his friends. She glances over at me, eyebrow cocked. I crouch before the kneeling young men, prompting all three of them to look up. Thank you for coming, I say, speaking slowly. But we will be going fast on horseback and may never return. You can't come with us. Yari, defiant as ever, looks me in the eye.
Horse, no fear. We practice.
He trails off and mutters something that sounds like a curse, then turns to Zara and says something in his own language. He says that they've practiced riding with some of the farmers outside the city walls, she says, translating. He claims that they will not be a burden. I give Yari a searching look before turning my attention to Zara. What do you think? She considers for a second before responding. Honestly, I think that we'll need all the help we can get. If they can keep up, I think they should be allowed to come with us. Grunting, I stand and extend a hand to help Yari to his feet.
Good enough for me.
I pull each of them up and thank them for their aid, then turn to a nearby guard and ask him to find us 3 more horses. He races off.
It appears your entourage is growing, Roth muses, standing beside Elias and the others. This is well. In the wake of the army, there's no telling what dangers you might face. Perhaps it would be wise to gather a few more guards?
More people make it more likely that they'll be discovered, Elias says. Besides, there's no more time to tarry.
He turns to a soldier and gives him a signal. The man steps over to the wall of the butcher's shop and pushes one of the bricks, which presses inward like a button. With the scraping sound of wood being dragged across stone, the ground on the side of the building begins to move. The cobblestones shift as the slab slides away, revealing a dark tunnel, like the entrance to a cellar. The rift is wide enough for 2 or 3 horses to ride side by side, gradually descending until the path vanishes from sight.
May the light protect you on your quest, Elias goes on, his voice sounding oddly formal. You carry the hope of Tarsinium with you. We anxiously await your return.
The leaders gather around us, clasping our hands and wishing us good luck on our journey. When Elias approaches me, his grim expression softens. He reaches up and pats my horse's neck.
Well, I suppose this is goodbye.
Yeah, I reply. It looks that way.
It'll be a dangerous road, he remarks, still stroking the horse's mane. Make sure to keep your wits about you. There's no telling what you'll run into out there.
I will. That's what rangers are supposed to do, right? Elias nods, then pulls something from the folds of his cloak.
Here, he says, handing it to me. That's for you.
I eye the folded parchment curiously. What is it? He hesitates, looking a little embarrassed.
A letter. I wrote it before my trial at the lodge. Just a few things I wanted you to know, before the end.
I give him a surprised look before tucking the note away.
Thanks, Elias. I appreciate it.
He grunts.
It isn't much. Read it when you're out there, if you want.
He gestures vaguely westward. A wry smile tugs at my lips. Of course.
You take care of yourself, all right? I want to hear all about the battle when we get back.
He looks at me with his iron gray eyes, a look of sadness coming over his craggy features. Nevertheless, he smiles back.
I will. And you take care of yourself as well, Owen. Remember your training.
He pauses, then pulls me into a tight, almost paternal hug. The movement takes me off guard, but after a few seconds I return the embrace fiercely, sudden tears springing to my eyes. After saying our farewells, our band approaches the ominous tunnel, leading our horses by the reins as torches are prepared. Zara and I stand together, staring uneasily down into the yawning shaft.
It's actually happening, Zara says, a slight tremor entering her voice. Today we say goodbye to the city of mages. My city.
Don't worry, I reply. We'll be back before you know it.
Zara glances up at me, her brown eyes full of emotion.
Owen, you saw my hand after setting off that bomb. The source crystal exploded, and this one is going to be much bigger. If we manage to pull this off...
Don't worry about that, I interject. We'll figure something out. The only thing we need to focus on right now is getting to the wastes. That, and you not falling off your horse.
I give her a wink. Despite the worry in her eyes, she smiles.
You know, I'm probably a better rider than you now.
When we get out of this tunnel, you'll have to prove it, I reply.
Together, we begin our descent into the abyss, with Yare and the others pulling up the rear behind us. In the light of the torches, I can make out the moisture-slick walls of the stone tunnel, the sound of hooves reverberating in the air around us. As we start on the long winding path out of the city, I note that the others are blocking the tunnel behind us, sealing us inside. There's no turning back now, I think, walking beside Zara in the dark. Hells, there's no turning back for any of us now. We are all trapped in this world, and we'll either survive or die trying.